From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back. It is March 18th, 2008. This is episode 64 of the Angry Admins Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
No, I'm still over here, Mr. Joe Bibby.
Okay, this week we're going to be talking about some tech news in the past 7 days, and then we're going to wrap up at the end with my mini review of Windows Vista Service Pack 1. So stay tuned for that exciting finale of today's show.
All right.
So, Joe, why don't you get us started with some awesome tech news?
All right. A big thing that came out this week, a story on Computer World that Intel has confirmed 160-gigabyte solid-state drives will be unveiled soon. These are, your standard solid-state diskless drives, like what's used in the MacBook Air, and some of the higher-end systems use these. They didn't say when for sure. Second quarter of 2008 is all they would say. And obviously they will be very, very expensive because the current, I think, 60 or 80 gig drives that are currently out are, you know, $500, $600, $700 a piece.
So what do you say the major selling points for the diskless stuff?
Well, no moving parts, so, you know, just like your thumb drive, if you drop it,
right,
it should survive.
Less heat
and also less power. So if you're on a laptop, your battery will last longer. Apparently these drives still use the old parallel bus.
Okay.
So supposedly later this year, the serial ATA drives, solid-state drives, will be coming out, which is why a lot of people were shocked that the MacBook Air had a parallel bus on it, and apparently that's why for the solid-state. So they use the same bus whether you do solid-state or disk, standard disk. So, but, you know, not a lot to talk about here other than, you know, they continue to push that format. And you know, we could easily be seeing everyone on solid state in the next couple of years as the prices come down.
So it'll be kind of weird if the sizes don't grow as fast as the regular drives, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've gone so far with those, like,
right,
oh, we have, you know, gigantic 1 terabyte,
yeah,
you know, multi-platter drives. And then now the new thing is these solid state, which are much smaller.
Right.
I mean, obviously they're going to get bigger too, but it's almost like we're going to roll back and then go forward again with size, you know.
So. Well, and I guess that's why everybody wants these hybrid hard drives, you know, that they would be,
right,
they would kind of span that gap, sort of like hybrid cars are supposedly spanning the gap to electric vehicles. But I don't know. It's so expensive right now. It still is a couple years out before we'll see these really being used. But you're right, the sizes have to catch up. It really has to increase faster than the current platter technology. So
you just got to keep your data in the cloud, man.
That's right, man. That's right. Everything on a mainframe, except it's not a mainframe.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. In other upcoming tech news, the you know about IPv6, right?
Yes.
It's the replacement for IPv4. You know, it's supposed to be the new hotness and solve a lot of the problems with IPv4. The major one being we're running out of addresses, which people thought we'd run out years ago. Thankfully, Nat has saved the day there. But the Internet Engineering Task Force, decided to shut off IPv4 for conference organizers, basically to see if it's possible to use an IPv6 machine in the current internet and standard networks. Things went fairly well, you know, it wasn't chaos. They knew this was happening, so people had time to prepare for it and get things ready, but
Seems like it wasn't as bad as they thought.
Yeah, but there were still a lot of things that they were not able to get to, but they were able to get to, you know, some of the important things. You know, not a lot of specifics came out, but I mean, it's good. This is the kind of thing that needs to happen for the people that are behind all of this to see what work still needs to be done. So this is good. This is the kind of thing we need to see, and obviously IPv6 is still not ready to go. So need to keep pushing forward and make sure everything you implement these days is IPv6 capable, because otherwise you probably will be replacing it in the next few years.
Yeah, I think it's just a good... Probably this is the nice time to kind of do a soft rollout of the stuff and get used to thinking about it. And I mean, if you're in a network where you're going to have, you know, streaming video or anything like that, you're going to want some of the quality of service features and stuff that they can do. So it doesn't hurt to be prepared.
Yeah, still a lot of the backbone routers, I guess, still are not ready for IPv6. So right. There's a lot of work to be done.
Me personally, I plan to stay behind the curve.
Yeah. So following up on the Apple announcement that there is no plans to support Flash on the iPhone.
Yes.
Microsoft has announced that they will continue to support Flash, especially the new version, even though they're trying to take on Flash with Silverlight, their own branded thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had Flash Lite support, which has been around for a while. It doesn't really do much. I mean, YouTube doesn't support it. None of the major Flash video stuff isn't on there. So there's apparently a new version coming out very, very soon. It's in beta right now. And Microsoft has decided to go ahead and I don't know if it's a license or if they're just allowing it on their systems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what the deal is here. It seems like almost a non-announcement.
Right.
Because most Windows mobile devices, you can kind of install whatever you want anyway.
Right.
So I don't know if this is just them trying to posture that, hey, look at us. We're still better than the iPhone, even though you have to end tasks and manage your own memory.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, not to have Flash, that's lethal for any kind of web device.
I mean,
you got to have it. Because, I mean, you're knocking out YouTube and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah. Although YouTube does support... so I tried this out on my phone using Opera Mobile. If I go to YouTube on my Windows mobile phone, it converts everything as Windows Media and plays in my Windows Media Player on my phone. So it seems like YouTube, they're ready, you know, similar to the iPhone support. They kind of can, I don't know if it's converting on the fly or if they just have multiple versions of everything out. I don't know how they do that.
It's probably smart for them to stay very neutral in this and be ready just to go whichever way the wind blows.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be left out in the cold with some old standard, you know.
But I agree. I was very surprised when Apple announced that they were not planning on supporting Flash in any way.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, on the Twit podcast, they were talking about, what were they saying? One of the guests on there, I forget who, was saying they think Microsoft is going to wind up buying Yahoo and that suddenly all these, you know, tens of millions of people or however many people have Yahoo accounts are going to be going to their Yahoo homepage and seeing a big install Silverlight Now icon.
Right.
So that would be a huge basically vector to penetrate all that user space with Silverlight if that happens.
Now, the good thing is Silverlight, you know, Microsoft is not holding that close. You know, there's Silverlight on Mac, there's Silverlight on Linux. There easily could be Silverlight on iPhone if they would allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in my mind, I don't really care as long as they keep it that way.
Right. And didn't, what's his name? The Ballmer, the big mouth dude from Microsoft.
Yeah.
He said, oh, well, you know, if they want to put Silverlight on the iPhone, we'll talk to them.
Yeah. So I'm sure they would charge for it. But, I guess the big complaint about Flash is that it's just really CPU intensive. So it eats your battery up if you start using it on a mobile device.
Oh.
So I have noticed that when I'm watching stuff on Hulu. I mean, my laptop will just start spinning up and the fan will go full bore if I'm watching it for more than just a couple minutes, which is surprising that, you know, it would need to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just not that efficient. I don't know a whole lot about, you know, the back end of Flash and how it's optimized.
Well, I don't know much about it at all. I just know that any kind of video is pretty CPU rough.
True.
You know.
True. But, you know, watching something in QuickTime doesn't seem to do that. I don't know.
True. I think the big test for Silverlight's going to be the Olympics, because they're supposed to do like 100% of all the Olympic stuff is supposed to be, you know, netcast, you know, and, you know, on this crazy super website that they're building, and it's all supposed to be Silverlight driven. And I think if that's like a huge failure, then that will be like a huge black eye right up front for Silverlight. But if everyone loves it, if everyone installs it to look at Olympics, because I mean, let's face it, if you even bother to watch the Olympics, probably the thing you like to watch isn't on or it's not being televised. So I could see the website being a pretty popular thing.
Yeah, my big question, I guess, about Silverlight, now that we're sitting here talking about it, and I'm saying, you know, yeah, sure, whatever, I don't care. Flash, you can render an FLV with just about any software. I'm wondering what it takes to create a Silverlight video, I guess. Like, I know the development stuff, I think, is universal.
Yeah. I'm hoping they do another thing like the Windows Media Encoder, which is a free thing to download, and it's a very basic little app that says, throw me your video, I'll make you a deal there.
So I'm looking on the website right now, and they're talking about Expression Studio, which is the new Final Cut, or what is it? What was that, their web app, web development app that they had forever that failed? Microsoft.
Oh.
Front Page.
Yes.
So Expression Studio is kind of a Front Page replacement that's been developed from the ground up. I've heard good things about it. Mm. It's available on the Mac, actually. And you have to have Visual Studio.
Fail.
Which is not available anywhere but Microsoft.
Right.
And you have to pay quite a bit for Visual Studio. Although there are free versions of Visual Studio now. But one of the things I do like about Flash is that, you know, whether I'm working in Adobe Premiere, Final Cut, you know, Windows Media, I mean, not Windows Media, but iMovie, some of the basic ones, you can generally get to FLV at some point pretty easily.
Right.
There's a lot of free encoders for FLV. If everything moves to Silverlight and we're locked into this, if all the development has to be taken on Microsoft, that's a little different than what I was actually thinking. So
with my underdeveloped business sense, I would say what they should do is make an encoder that lets you do up to 320 by 240 for free.
Yeah.
And if you want to do anything higher res than that, then you need to buy like their tool, you know, or license the ability to put that into your Final Cut or Adobe Premiere or whatever to render Silverlight.
I'm wondering what the video backend stuff is. I just don't know much about it. I'm wondering if it only accepts like media, Windows Media stuff, which then I guess you could render out easily Windows Media files on Final Cut or any other app. No.
Yeah, but that's still two hops then. If they make it hard or if they make it expensive, Silverlight will never catch on.
Right. I mean, that's one of the things that Flash Video is so nice. You can get free little Flash players online encode to FLV with some of the free stuff. I mean, I think even VLC will encode to FLV.
Right.
And you're ready to go with Flash Video.
Man.
So if they don't have that, then you're right, it won't catch on. But yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Well, it's good. Either way, it's good for Flash to have a competitor.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about Silverlight. I hope it doesn't suck. Yeah. You know, basically, that's
because that'll just push Flash ahead, you know, just like AMD has done for Intel. They've pushed them on as long as they keep up.
And then they failed and fell behind.
Yeah, they did. They did. It's pretty bad, right? Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh. So there's been a lot of other stuff in the news, speaking of, like, efficiency and things. Firefox, which we've covered this quite a bit before, so we'll just cover this briefly, but... I saw several stories this week where people were bragging about how Firefox 3 has been just so much more efficient than any other browser. It beats out Safari, it beats out Opera, it beats out IE7 on memory usage, which you could not say about Firefox 2.
No.
Firefox 2 is bloated. There's some charts on the Ars Technica article that we'll link to in the show notes that show you, you know, the graphs of memory usage. And Firefox 2, it just goes up and up and up, and it looks like Firefox 3 just beats them all out. And it's still in beta.
Right.
So it's only going to get better.
I really want to be... In the old days, I was proud to be a Firefox user.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, it's basically just a veto vote against IE.
Right.
It's like, well...
It's true.
It performs like crap.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of cases, and I'm just using it because I don't want to support the IE browser. But... I'm not excited about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when, oh, sweet, a new theme. You know, oh, cool, look at these add-ons. And, you know, I was just going nuts on Firefox. And this is probably like the pre-1.5 days, back before it kind of got bloated and slow. And
1.5 even was okay, but once it went to 2, I mean, it just
it sucked failed. Big
time. and honestly, the only thing that kept me going with Firefox 2 were the plugins.
Yeah.
The web developer plugin, some of the other ones I used, the ad block stuff. You know, I almost switched to Safari before I tried out the Firefox 3 beta because I can get Adblock in Safari. The only thing I couldn't get was this web developer plugin. That was really the one of the only things. That and then the Gmarks plugin, which lets you access your Google bookmarks. Those two things, if I could have gotten those on Safari, I would have switched. Mm. But thankfully, Firefox 3 Beta 2, I think, is when I got in. Saved me and kept me from going to Safari, which I think I would have regretted.
Well, if you had been using the Safari browser, that's just a little bit too much Apple-ness.
I know.
And then yeah, I would have just had to stop being your friend.
Because it's, like, it's true.
You're just too obnoxious with all Apple stuff.
I mean, Safari's all right, but it's just so limiting.
Mm.
And yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to go down that road at all. I would have realized my foolishness, but still, it's...
Yeah. Speaking of Apple foolishness.
Oh, yes. So
let's talk about that.
It may be too late, but don't install the Apple security update. And it's possible by the time you hear this that it's already been fixed, but a lot of users are complaining that the latest security update... now, this is not the Safari update, which was also released today. But the latest security update is breaking SSH on Macs.
Yay.
Which is kind of important if you are a sysadmin. Which, if you're listening to this show, most likely you are in some way a sysadmin, and you need SSH to tunnel into servers and firewalls and about everything else out there.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the error people are getting is a bus error. So you start SSH, and it just gives you a bus error, and you get kicked out of SSH, and that's all there is to it. Now, there are other SSH binaries you can download. You know, people have ported the Linux SSH binary to Mac. You can go to Mac ports, I think it is, and get if you've already failed, you know, that's an option. But I would hold off. You know, this is a good reason to always check the forums on Apple's websites, discussions.apple.com, or the comments on any of the stories that talk about it before you install an update, because the last thing you need is your main system to not have a major utility available to you when you're at work.
Yeah. I never install the latest iPod or iTunes.
Yeah, you're always like three generations behind.
I'm letting somebody else be the guinea pig on that.
Yeah. So. I don't know if I'd go that as far as that, but definitely major system updates I hold off at least for a day, but usually only about a day.
Well, hopefully they'll fix this. This is kind of major, so.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to jump right in. I mean, I went to Leopard right away, basically the day it was released, and there were some issues with that, but, man, it's shocking. It's been, since I've been a full-time Apple user, I haven't seen a major system utility break like this, and so this is kind of disappointing. We'll see how quickly they fix it. They're usually good at fixing things quickly, so we'll see what happens, but, yeah. So speaking of... updates.
Yes. So now it is time. The time you've all been waiting for, at least the three of you using Vista like me.
I use it.
So today, the long-awaited Service Pack 1.
Woo-woo!
Yes. So I got up this morning early, and by early I mean like 9 o'clock. And I started checking.
That's early for sysadmin.
It is. I started looking on the websites. I checked the Vista developer blog. No one talked about it. I went to the download center. Nothing. I checked Windows Update. Nothing. I mean, it was not there. I was like, these bastards are going to like hold it off another week, another month. Who knows how long it's going to be.
Yeah.
So I just went to work. And then this afternoon, you were like, oh, it's out. And I was like, what? So, yeah, I grabbed it, burned a CD, came home, and went through the long, arduous process of installing it. And it said, oh, by the way, this could take an hour.
Wow. So how long did it actually take?
So, okay, so let me just throw out some numbers.
Okay.
So the download, if you do the 5-language standalone download for the thing, it's about 400 or 500 meg, which is not horrible, but, you know, hey, whatever. So you grab it. Let's see, if you wait until you do it on Windows Update, it's only going to be about 65 meg.
Oh, okay.
Because you're just downloading the difference between what you have
right.
and what it's going to do.
Nice.
So that won't be as horrible. But it was not kidding when it said an hour.
Wow.
Because I started at about, about 5:20. Mm-hmm. And then at 6:30, it was finishing up and coming up.
That's crazy.
So it did multiple reboots. It did like serious deep DLL flipping and who knows what it did in there.
I wonder if the smaller version that comes out on auto update will take less time.
You would.
I wonder
think.
If it was being redundant. It seems like it would check though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how they do their patches. I don't know enough about that. But.
Yeah. So anyway, it did take over an hour. It was a gigantic deal.
Wow.
You do need to be caught up on your Windows update before you try this because there are some pre-qualifying Windows
really?
Updates
okay.
that need to be there before
okay.
you do this.
Hmm.
My thing didn't complain, but I'm a pretty religious
right.
Windows updater.
Yeah.
So my thing was at least ready to go. It did its thing. It came back up. And the one thing that I was really hoping for, that it was going to fix my chipset's issue with going to Hibernate and coming back.
Right. It was supposed to fix a lot of that stuff, right?
It did not.
Oh, epic fail.
So, yeah, epic fail. The it's still, when I let it go to sleep.
Oh, that's too bad.
It goes into a very, very unhappy state.
Because
it goes down, and then, like, I can hit the space bar to wake it up, and I hear the fans and stuff come back on, but... Hard drive lights don't come on, no beepy, the thing won't come up, so then you hit reset.
Mm-hmm.
Reset just recycles the fans, still no hard drive status.
Wow.
Then you hit the power button, still nothing, so then you reach around behind the PC and total kill
so
the power.
Take it all the way down?
Then you come up and it says, your CMOS state is wrong. And you're like, okay, proceed, press F1, and then it comes up and it says, It tries to say resuming Windows.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of like fails and just hangs with a little blinking cursor. So then you hit reset again and it comes back to another screen, kind of like safe mode. It says, do you want to just disregard the whole data that you saved to resume?
Wow.
And just start over. And you're like,
wow,
yeah.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, it was
severe.
I mean,
it's like it's corrupting your CMOS and it's.
I don't know. I'm
crazy.
I mean, my chipset was like a cutting edge chipset. And I mean, I bought it for certain reasons.
Sure.
You know, it was at a good price point and it handled multiple kinds of RAM. And I feel like Vista will eventually support it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so no Hibernate for me. So that's very disappointing, Microsoft.
Wow.
But anyway, let me run down a couple of the major highlights that I made note of in the white paper that accompanied SP1.
Nice.
So they're adding new labels and icons if you have a high density. Optical drive like Blu-ray, HD, DVD, so that'll be like its own little thing there.
That's cool.
So Vista
I like that.
Vista understands that's a different thing.
That's good. That's actually really good because you know it seemed like it was always an issue even with DVD versus CD-ROM.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it wouldn't recognize it even in XP correctly. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Good.
They're gonna enable support for new types of Windows Media Center extenders, digital televisions, network DVD players, stuff like that.
Nice.
Those will start working. Let's see what else was cool. There was a bunch of stuff, but supposedly between 25 and 50% faster copying files.
That's good.
And I actually tried this today. Pre-SP1, I moved a 700 megabyte AVI file from one SATA drive to another, two different physical disks. And I tried them again after SP1,
mm-hmm.
and it was working about... It's not really reliable, and it's a bad test for a reason that I'll cover in a second. But it seemed like it was about 1 to 2 seconds faster.
Hmm.
So not the 25 to 50% faster
right.
that they're advertising.
But still, you're noticing a difference.
But the reason that the test is bad is because once you do the SP1,
mm-hmm.
Vista supposedly kind of learns how you use your system.
Oh,
and it does
okay.
this kind of optimization routine.
Right.
And after you do SP1, it kind of zeroes that out and starts over.
Okay. Okay.
So the real test would be in a week or two for me to try this copy again and see if it's any faster or slower, but I don't know. Anyway, they're supposed to handle file copies and large files a little better.
Hmm.
I can say that it did seem a little snappier.
Okay.
Like I'm clicking around Firefox and it seems like it's a little snappier, but it could have just been... I don't know. Maybe it was just wishful thinking. Let's see. We just talked about that. Standard user can now invoke the complete PC backup application. You don't have to be the admin user to do
okay.
that. So
that's actually good. I mean, that's because they kind of want you to run as a user, not as
right,
admin. So
right.
it makes sense that you'd be able to do the backup as a user.
Right. I mean, that's going to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They now fully support the latest draft of 802.11n.
Okay, that's
so
good.
So that's nice.
So they're keeping up to date.
Right, especially for like the Vista laptops out there.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people have complained about Wi-Fi on Vista, so maybe it'll fix some of that too.
They've also rolled in hot patching. So now you shouldn't have to reboot as often after you install Windows updates.
Yeah, that's something they kind of went backwards with on Mac. Most of the patches now on Leopard, you actually have to reboot. So
yeah,
that's kind of a bummer.
The UAC warnings, mm-hmm. like allow or deny.
Yes, I do know those.
If you're trying to create a folder in a protected location, you used to get 4 of those in a row. Now they've fixed it, so you just get 1. Annoying.
Hey, that's better. So, that's an improvement. They need more of that, actually, yeah. if they want UAC to actually be used.
And they said also...
that's actually really good. I'm glad to hear that.
By a huge amount of demand from the top PC manufacturers, now when you first set up Vista, you have to put in a password hint.
Mm.
Because it was not prompting people to do that. And mm-hmm. by default, it was not giving people passwords, which meant later they don't know their password and they have a problem. And now they can't be admin. And all those tech support calls were going right. back to Dell, back yeah. to HP. The last thing is they fixed a couple of the exploits for activation, the mm-hmm. OEM BIOS exploit and the Grace Timer exploit. Those have both been sealed.
Yay.
So,
no more hex wars.
Our fans in China. Sorry.
Yeah. yeah.
But anyway, that's good. So that's like, if you go to the download center, there's some white papers and overviews if you want to look at all of the pages and pages of junk that they did, but I'm not going to bore us with that because yeah. it's not even interesting to me. Huh. And I have Vista. So
one more thing. Warning to Mac users with Vista SP1. If you are, like me, using Parallels and booting Parallels using your bootcamp partition, it's that very specific set. Do not install SP1 because there is a known issue and you will no longer be able to use Vista with Parallels attached to your bootcamp. Now, if you are in a pure virtual machine on Parallels, not using your bootcamp partition, you're fine. If you are just using bootcamp, you're fine because you'll be able to boot into Vista fine. It's just if you're trying to do like I do, keeping the same data set and being able to boot into Vista if I need to, it will no longer boot in Parallels for some reason. They know it's an issue. They're working on it. As of this show, there's no update to fix it. So don't install yet. Just wait that out.
Right. And because we're so late, you know, this show is coming to you mere hours after SP1 was launched.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, a fix may be forthcoming.
Right.
Yeah. Now if I just don't have a failure and if I can actually push the podcast out before next weekend, you'll actually have some up-to-date information.
Yeah, so. Maybe.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up another exciting episode of the Angry Admins podcast, your one and only tech resource for internet awesomeness.
That's right. We're the only tech podcast out there.
I know. And I can't believe no one else has caught on to this whole tech thing.
Yeah,
that's
geez.
Crazy. Anyway, if you feel like mocking us, send us an email at feedback@angryadmins.com or feel free to stop by the website for links to all of the cool stuff we talked about today.
Yes.
Until next week, I'm Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Stay angry.